But just a couple of quick announcements. One would be received word that the Word of Life Reverb that was had this past week, there was 1,302 teenagers there. Can you imagine that? 1,302 teenagers, 44 decisions for Jesus Christ, many more recommitments. There was over 100 volunteers, and we had 23 folks from Calvary Bible Church involved in that teen outreach, and it's wonderful to hear that information. This would be the last sermon for the foreseeable future that I'll be delivering here at Calvary. Next week, you definitely want to come next week. Invite somebody to come. That's our transition service. I don't want to tell you what's going to happen. You need to be here to see it. But I will start the message, but will not finish the message next week. And it's going to be a great message, a great time in the life of Calvary Bible Church. I'm extremely excited about it. We will give the baton to Pastor Dom. And my title for next week's sermon is called A New Chapter. And that's what it's going to be in the book of Calvary Bible Church. This is a whole new chapter that's about to start. And we're very, very excited. I do want to take time and make mention on behalf of myself and Judy what a joy it's been to be here at Calvary the last 9 months. And I thank everyone for their words of encouragement, their notes of encouragement, their gifts of encouragement. Thank you so much. It's been our joy and our pleasure. And I've had many folk ask me, well, what's next? We don't know. We get orders from headquarters. And I'm sure those orders have already been cut. They just haven't been delivered to us yet. So whenever the Lord lets us know where we're going, that's where we'll end up. So, but it's been great, folks, and you'll be seeing us in December. I'll be hanging around here for a little bit, working with Pastor Dom on some visitation and shut-ins, etc. So my message this morning is on being thankful. And I am so thankful for the opportunity we've had after 16 years of being away to come back to this wonderful ministry of Calvary Bible Church and enjoy you folks. It's been a real pleasure. And Pastor Rick, I want to personally thank you for your ministry here, not only in leading music, but being the glue that's literally held the staff together and so forth. And thank you very much, Pastor Rick. Just so you know, Pastor Rick is a shy guy. He does not like to be recognized, but I enjoy doing it, so we're okay. Amen. This morning's message is all about an attitude of gratitude, being thankful. As a child of God, we should be the most thankful people on planet Earth. I do have a quick story I want to share. And I was wondering, by the way, this is probably my favorite story of all times. It's not very spiritual, but I'm going to tie it in spiritually because we should be thankful. As a matter of fact, the theology of Scripture is that the child of God should be thankful. Ephesians 5:20 says you should be thankful for all things. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says we should be thankful in all things. Colossians 3:15 wraps it up and says, just be thankful. Now, the word thanks or thanksgiving in the original language meant to cast or to throw gratitude or acknowledgement or praise. We do that to the Lord our God. We should be thankful. Psalm number 100, verse number 4, one of my favorite verses in Scripture. I will enter into his gates with and into his courts with. I will be thankful to him. And that blesses his name. So we are blessing to God when we are thankful to him for all things, in our things, just being thankful, entering into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise, being thankful to him. And probably one of the few folks in the world that doesn't get the thankfulness they deserve and the recognition they deserve is mother-in-laws. And look, I got to be careful here because I'm married to a mother-in-law, amen? But poor mother-in-laws, there's more jokes about them and they get beat up more than you'd like to think about. But we should be thankful for mother-in-laws. But let me tell you a story as an illustration about a man who wasn't too thankful for his mother-in-law. This gentleman was standing on the street, and he saw out of the corner of his eye a procession coming of a hearse. And he figured out of respect he wouldn't walk across the street in front of the hearse, so he was watching it move at an extremely slow pace. And as it was getting closer, he noticed in back of the hearse was tied a mule. And behind the mule was eight men walking in a straight line. Well, he thought to himself, I've never seen anything like this in my life. A hearse, a mule, and eight men walking in a straight line. So just it happened that the light turned red and the hearse stopped at the red light. And he said, well, I'm going to take advantage of this. He walked up and he tapped on the window of the hearse. The gentleman rolled down the window and he said, sir, he said, I'm really conflicted here. I'm confused on what's going on here. He said, I see a hearse, a mule, and eight men in a straight line. He goes, well, sir, you have to understand that's my mother-in-law in the hearse. He goes, oh, okay. He said, well, what's with the mule? He said, well, to be honest with you, that mule kicked my mother-in-law, and that's why she's in the hearse. He goes, wow. He said, you're telling me the mule kicked your mother-in-law and she's in the hearse? He goes, yeah. He said, can I borrow that mule for a couple days? And he said, sure, but you got to get in line. Isn't that awful? Oh, my. Poor mother-in-laws, right? Thanksgiving, even for mother-in-laws. Amen? Amen. Let's stand for the reading of God's Word this morning. We're looking at Luke chapter 17, a very familiar story, but I want to probably put a little bit of a different twist on it, if I may. It's the story of Jesus and the lepers. So let me read it aloud. If you have your copy of God's Word, let's look at Luke 17, verses number 11 through 19. Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, and they stood afar off. And he lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on me, us. So when he saw them, he said to them, go, show yourself to the priests. And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned with a loud voice, glorifying God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. Verse 17. So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. Father, thank you for your word. Now bless it, Lord, to our hearts, our minds, our feet, our hands, our eyes. May we learn from this example, Lord, of the one that gave thanks. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Title is Be the One. Of course, be the one that came back and gave the thanksgiving. But there's a little bit more here. I'd like you to turn back to Luke chapter number 5. This would be approximately a little over 2 years earlier. So 2 whole years has passed in Jesus' ministry. In Luke number 5, I'm looking at verses number 12 to 16. Luke 5, 12 to 16. So this is early in Jesus' ministry, approximately 2 years and change before the story of the 10 lepers. And it happened when he was in a certain city that, behold, a man who was full of leprosy, meaning he was about at life's end. Leprosy had overtaken his body, his hands, his feet, probably parts of his face were eaten away by this horrible disease of leprosy. And he saw Jesus. And he fell on his face and implored him, saying, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. And he put out his hand and touched him. Unheard of to touch a leper. This man has not been touched in years by anyone because he's unclean. Leviticus chapters 13 and 14 prescribe to the nation of Israel how to handle lepers. They are to stand afar off. No one is to touch them. They're the outcast of society. If they think they are cleansed or clean, they must go before the rabbi, the priest, and he must be declared clean and stay there for a certain period of time to make sure he is clean. It happened very seldom. It was the death knell. When you got leprosy, you knew it was over. This man is full of leprosy. And Jesus touched him. Unheard of. Touched him, saying, "I am willing, be cleansed." Immediately the leprosy left him. And Jesus charged him to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest to make an offering for your cleansing, according to Leviticus 14. An offering for your cleansing as a testimony to them, just as Moses commanded. Look at verse 15. However, the report went around concerning him all the more. That's powerful. He told the man, don't tell anybody about this. This is early in Jesus' ministry. He just doesn't want to be known as a healer. He wants to be known and establish himself as the Messiah. But word spread, there's this miracle worker, there's this healer that actually touched the leper, and immediately he was cleansed. The word was going out about this miraculous worker named Jesus. And great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. So Jesus himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. That's good for all of us to learn. It's good to get away sometimes and just get alone with God and pray and talk to him, because this life will stress you, beat you up, and grind you down, and you need that alone time. But Jesus established himself here with the people as a miracle worker, a healer. Now, 2 years later, we come to the passage we're looking at this morning, and don't you think these lepers had heard of had Jesus healing that leper? Sure they had. Word had spread. The only hope they had was this man named Jesus, who was the miracle worker. So when we go back to Luke chapter 17, 2 years plus change later, it says, as he went to Jerusalem, Luke 17, verse 11, as he went to Jerusalem. Why is he going to Jerusalem, church? He's going to Jerusalem for the Passover. He's going to Jerusalem to be crucified. Only two chapters away, and in Luke chapter 19, he does the entry into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, the Sunday prior to the crucifixion. So he's very close to the cross right here. And his mind, as a matter of fact, one of the Gospels says that his mind was like a flint focused on going to the cross to Jerusalem. But see, Jesus is about people. People matter to Jesus. And he's going to take time to stop and to deal with these lepers, the outcasts of society. Could have very easily walked by and say, guys, I just don't have time now. I'm too busy. Aren't you glad our Jesus is never too busy for us? Jesus says, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. So as he's on his way to Jerusalem, he passes through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, we don't know the name of the village, but this is real history here. There met him 10 men who were lepers. They were huddled together. This was a mini leper colony of 10 men who were lepers. We're going to find out in just a minute that only one of them was not. The 9 Jews and 1 Samaritan. The Samaritans were hated by the Jews. They're half-breeds, half-Jewish, half-whatever else they are. They were definitely looked down upon by Jews. But you know, the amazing thing is, when they all have leprosy, it don't matter what nationality you are. When you're all in the same foxhole, it doesn't matter what faith somebody might have. They were one in leprosy. And no doubt they had talked. If Jesus ever comes by, he's the only hope we have. And they recognized that. And I don't doubt one of them looked up and said, there he is, Jesus, the healer. There met him 10 lepers who stood afar off. They were being obedient to the law from Leviticus 13 that the lepers must be far on the other side of the street. They must cry out, unclean, unclean, so people could move away from them. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Jesus, chief commander, have pity on us. Jesus, great healer, heal us. Now let's give them credit for one thing. They're going to the right person with their problem. They go to Jesus because he's the only hope that they have. And when Jesus saw them, please understand, Jesus sees you. And when you call upon him, he will hear you. He will listen to your cry. He will listen to your plea. And he will answer. Now, we get confused because we want him to answer the way we want it to be answered, right? It's, I want my will done in heaven as it is on earth, not God's will done on earth as it is in heaven. So when I pray and I don't see the answer I want, I'm thinking, well, what happened there? Well, nothing happened. That might have been a maybe later or not now. No. How many parents here have ever told a child no when they have a request? Every parent that's here has done that. So they cried out to Jesus, looking for the healing. They had heard about Jesus, recognized he was the great healer. And he said to them, very simple command. Notice he doesn't touch them. He doesn't try to get near them. He just says to them, from the distance he's at, go show yourselves to the priest. Now put your mind in the mind of these lepers. They have leprosy. They're dying. There is no hope. There's no medical cure. And Jesus tells them, go to the priest and show yourself. Now the only reason they would go to the priest would be to validate they've been healed. Well, they're not healed. They're standing here. And Jesus gives them a command to do something that doesn't make really any rational sense. And they're really not healed. So now it's upon them to do an act of faith and respond to the command, not even understanding why they're doing what they're doing. But Jesus, you're the healer. You touched that leper. We heard about it. Give us that touch. No, just go show yourself to the priest. Why should I, Jesus? I still have leprosy. But they didn't. Let's give them credit. All 10 of them had enough faith and obedience that they at least responded to the master's command. Right? Because the Bible says, and so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. It doesn't say they were cleansed and then they went. You get that now. They stepped out in faith. This is Abraham. Get up and go to a far country. Where's it at, Lord? I'm not telling you. You just get up and go. I'll let you know when you get there. Get up and go and show yourself to the priest. But we're not healed. Go and show yourself to the priest. As they were on their way to the priest, then they were healed. You with me on that? That's important to understand. All 10 were healed when they responded to the command of Jesus. Verse number 15. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned with a loud voice and glorified God. One of the 10. Now, we don't know for sure, so let me just give you maybe a thought that you could chew on about this story. One of the 10 realized this is the Messiah. The other 9 were so overwhelmed with the healing, they forgot all about the healer. The other 9 were so overwhelmed with the great blessing that had come upon them, they forgot all about the blesser. This one realized, whoa, this is truly the Messiah. Not just a healer, this is the anointed one of God. And I'm going to respond to him and demonstrate my thanksgiving. Now, by the way, do you think the other 9 were thankful? I'm sure they were. And, you know, we can beat up that 9 all we want, right? Let me just drop something here this morning. We've all been that 9 at one time in our journey. Everyone here has forgotten about the blesser because we were so overwhelmed with the blessing. has forgotten about the real healer because we were so overwhelmed with the healing. Didn't thank God because we woke up this morning and could breathe the breath of life. We're all part of that nine at different times in our life. But I guess this morning the challenge is we got to focus on trying to make ourselves to be that one. The one that remembers to say thank you. The one that wakes up every morning and says, oh, thank you, Lord, for another day. Heaven's better by far, and I get that. Listen, folks, I know I'm going to heaven when I go. And I know that's a far better place than this whole sin-cursed world. But you know what? I'm going to be there forever, so I kind of want to hang around here as long as I can and enjoy my family and my friends and the church family and the salvation I have in Jesus. I enjoy enjoying that, but I want to be thankful. Every day we should be thankful. We woke up. Every day we should be thankful for. And I'm going to close with some words that we need to be meditating on, things that we can always be thankful for, generally speaking, but each one can specifically identify areas in your life that you're thankful for. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned with a loud voice and glorified God. Oh, that. There's nothing wrong with public glorifying God with a loud voice. If it's done in the right way, the right context, and truly meaningful. Like if I was standing in the mall and I let out a glory to God, that might wake a few people up. It might get me 911 somebody. It might say I got a nutcase in here, or you never know, a couple people might come up to you and say, yeah, man, that was good. Glory to God. You ever standing in an elevator? It's a crowded elevator. Everybody's like this and everybody's just staring at the buttons. You ever notice that in elevators? That's all they do is stare at the button like that's going to change something. But everybody stared at the button and I drop a Jesus. Man, they might hit that button so quick and get me off that elevator, right? Watch it. How about a doctor's office? With the magazine, right? Drop a Jesus in there or glory to God. This guy did it publicly in front of the other nine, in front of everyone that was with Jesus, in front of his disciples with a loud voice. He realized, I don't care what people think. This is the Savior of mankind, the Messiah. Glory to God. Not only did he yell out with a loud voice, glory to God, it says he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. Now, I was going to demonstrate that this morning. The older I get, the more I realize getting down is not a problem, folks. But man, I'd be stuck there. Somebody, Pastor Rick, would have to come up and straighten me up. But this guy, who said amen to that over there? I heard an amen come out of this section over here. Come on now. There you go. Two beggars helping each other up. He got down on his face before Jesus in act of humility. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in due time. And it said he gave him thanks. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for this healing. But this faith was different than the obedient faith. This is saving faith here, folks. He's publicly, passionately, personally, and pleasing to God, giving him thanks. There's a crowd watching. He could care less. He's focused on Jesus. He wouldn't have a life if it wasn't for Jesus. And he was a Samaritan. He was an outcast. He was the only one of the group that wasn't Jewish. He was a half-breed. But you know what? That meant nothing to him or to Jesus. Jesus didn't see a half-breed. He didn't see a Samaritan. He didn't see a Jew. He saw a human soul, an eternal soul that was now coming to him for praise and thanksgiving. He truly was living out Psalm 100, verse 4. I'll enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. I'll be thankful to him, and that'll bless his name. And Jesus said, were there not 10 that were cleansed? Jesus asked the question, where are the nine? He knows where they're at. They're going to the priest to show them they're clean so they can go on with their life. But he's asking the question not because Jesus doesn't know the answer. He wants us to see that. That question's for me and you. Where are the nine? Well, They're so hung up in their blessing, they forgot about the blesser. And there was none who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner. I want you to understand, glory to God, he's also talking about himself. This is also a statement of Jesus' deity. And he said to him, and I would suggest this morning, he says to you, and he says to me, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. Your faith has healed your soul, which is the greatest healing anybody can get. When people often ask me, how am I doing? And I know what they're talking about, my physical things I got going on. But I always like to say, you know what the truth is? It's well with my soul. And bless God, it can go downhill real quick after that. But as long as it's well with my soul, everything else is going to be all right eventually. I'll get my healing in heaven. I'll get my new body in heaven. I'll get everything new in heaven. But my soul is going to live on forever, and it is well with my soul. And this man found out what it is to be healed spiritually. If any man wants to see or enter the kingdom of God, he must be what? Born again, born from above, born anew. This man experienced it. And he was so excited about Jesus, he didn't care what anybody thought. Again, he came publicly, passionately, personally, and pleasing to God by his thanksgiving. I'd like you to turn to Hebrews chapter 13. And we're going to take a look at this man in Hebrews chapter 13. Remember now, he came back and glorified God with a loud voice, and he gave thanks to him with a loud voice. He was speaking to Jesus in an act of thanksgiving. We should be that one. There should never be a voice as long as we're around that doesn't say thank you to Jesus for what he's done in our life. Look at verse number 15 of Hebrews 13. Therefore, by him, by Jesus, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is, this sacrifice, this is the sacrifice that we should continually offer to God. The fruit of our lips, what's it say, church? Giving thanks to his name. Everybody look up at me. The Bible says this mouth and this tongue becomes an altar. And I literally offer up a sacrifice of praise. Now, please understand, in the Old Testament specifically, some of the Hebrew words can be interchanged for praise and thanksgiving. Depends on the context, whether it's translated praise or thanksgiving. Because the truth they want to bring home on that word is, you can't truly be thankful without making that an act of praise. Your thanksgiving is an act of praise. And if you're praising God, you have to be thankful. You can't be unthankful and praise God at the same time. The two go together. Thanksgiving and praise. Thanksgiving and praise. And Hebrews 13 says, this mouth becomes a sacrificial altar, and I lift up my praises to God and thank God for his son Jesus. And I should do that continually. And everyone in this auditorium, everyone in the back in the room, in the back with the family connection, anyone that's watching us on live stream, you can do that. You can do it when you wake up in the morning. You can do it as you go through the day. You can do it in the evening. Giving thanks to God blesses God. Why do we always want to get blessed? Instead of us being the blessee, let us be the blesser and bless God. And he'll never forget that, because that pleases him. A child of God should demonstrate a life of thanksgiving in all things and for all things. It doesn't matter the circumstances, because we're above the circumstances. Don't you wish everybody could show a heart and a life of thanksgiving? I was doing a funeral in one of the funeral homes here in town. This was several years ago, probably 5 years ago. And I knew the deceased, but I didn't know the family that well. And that he had left a note that he wanted me to do his funeral. So I was doing the memorial service. And in the funeral home, you know, they got the chairs all set up real close to the pulpit. Excuse me. So I was in the pulpit, and I was getting ready to do the memorial service. And it was a big crowd. I just happened to glance down on my left, your right. There was a gentleman in the second row. Folks, this guy looked like he was a cross between a bulldog and a groundhog. I mean, he was just mean looking. I mean, mean looking. And my eye caught him. And I'm looking at him and I'm thinking, oh, my word. I hope, I'm not sure where this guy's going to go, but he was just mean looking. So I did the service, but I kept glancing at him and he kept having that groundhog, bulldog look on his face looking at me. So now the service is over. And I reposition myself by the casket next to the family, and everyone's invited to get up and have one last viewing. So wouldn't you know it, Mr. Groundhog gets up, bulldog, and he gets in line to come down. Well, I'm thinking, this is it. This guy, he didn't look too happy as I was sharing the gospel of Jesus, and I figured for sure he's going to chew me out. So he gets to me. He puts his hand out, tremendous smile breaks out on his face. He goes, brother, that's one of the best messages I ever heard at a memorial service. Thank you. I'm thinking to myself, man, I wish I'd seen that earlier. It wouldn't have bothered me the whole service. I mean, he had some Thanksgiving. Listen, he was hiding it. Boy, let it out. Turn to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. This is the last verse we'll look at. Then I got a few things I just want to share real quick. Certain verses in Scripture you just want to mark down in your Bible and underline or highlight or whatever you do. You need to do that. Now, if you got a hand device, I can't help you with how you do that. But anyway, I got this one underlined, squared around. I'm bringing attention to it as soon as I get to the page. Verse number 57. Now, of course, the Apostle Paul here is talking about our final victory over death and the grave and the glorious resurrection and the new body and everything that's going to be happening after death and the future. But in 57, he's talking in general terms about my Jesus and your Jesus. And this is something we can be thankful for. All the time. If you don't have anything else to be thankful for, we have some folks that are recovering from illnesses. Just found out this morning Helen Berkheimer had a stroke. She's in the hospital. Where's Evelyn Seitz? Evelyn's here. She's been through some valleys. Dave Hartlove, still in the hospital, been through some deep valleys. Helena Miller just got released from the hospital. We know Lynn and Romaine, they got their valleys. Everybody's got a little valley, some a very deep valley, but something we can all be thankful for in spite of the circumstances is 1 Corinthians 15, 57. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Church, can you say amen to that? Amen. I mean, say it like you mean it, church. Amen. Amen. That's something to be thankful for. We are victors. Before I got saved, I was a chump. Only Jesus can make a chump into a champ, right? A champion for Jesus and the victory we have in Him. We're guaranteed victors in Jesus Christ. And I don't care what state we're in physically, we can always thank God for Jesus. I've shared this before, but there's some people here that haven't heard it. I know there's some newer folks here. Years ago, me and Judy were invited, when I was still with Giant Food, invited to go to one of my bakery manager's church. It was a downtown, all-black Baptist church. She wanted me to come. I said, man, I'd love to come. She gave me the address. It was a Sunday morning, so we're riding around, heading to the church downtown. They have to understand, downtown Baltimore, they're all row homes. And on the end of the street, each end street, you got a bar on one end and some house church on the other end. They just take a house, make it into a bar. They take a house, make it into a church. So we're riding around, and I see this shingle hanging outside of a church. Big shingle. Big letters. Couldn't miss it. And it was the name of the church. And the name of this, but I told Judy, I said, man, look at that. I said, that is a good name. The name of the church, listen now. Thank God for Jesus Baptist Church. Can you imagine go to that church? Someone at work asks you, hey, man, where you go to church? Thank God for Jesus. Okay, but what church you go to? Thank God for Jesus. That's a great name. That's a testimony in itself. The Apostle Paul here says, that's something we can all be thankful for. Thanking God for Jesus. Now, 2 Corinthians 9:15 says we can be thankful for His indescribable gift. What is that gift? Actually, the gift is Jesus, but it's salvation through Jesus is the gift of God, the gift of eternal life. So quickly in closing, let me give you some things that you can just meditate on. You can have your own list. Everybody's got a list of things that you should have a list in your mind of what you want to be thankful for. These are general terms, but something you can think about. They all begin with the letter S. S. Okay, so let me be the one giving testimony. And I want to do it publicly, passionately, personally, and pleasing to God, okay? Not necessarily in order, because I'm going to close with the number one. So the number one will be last. So let me get the other ones. I thank God for my family. I thank God for my friends. I thank God most of all there, in that general arena, for my personal salvation. Because without my salvation, I know I'd be headed to a devil's hell. I certainly wouldn't be standing here addressing you fine folks. And that changed my life forever. January 19th, 1981, I was forever changed by the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That can happen to you if it hasn't already happened. But see, you got to believe and then act on that belief. Like the leper did. Be the one. So I'm thankful for my salvation. I'm thankful for this book we have. We call it a Bible. But beginning with the letter S, anybody want to help me with that? What's this book called with the letter S? The Scriptures. Think about it. What would we know about God and Jesus without the Holy Scriptures? This is, hey folks, look, this is the voice of the living God right here. This is His breath. This is His voice. And this book tells me all about my Savior, Jesus. That's why I love to call this a hymn book. Amen? Not a hymnal. This is a hymn book. It's all about Him from Genesis to Revelation. I'm thankful for the Scriptures. I'm thankful for the Spirit of God that indwells the believer and empowers us to live the Christian life. I'm thankful for, watch this now, the saints of God. Amen? That's you! If you're a believer this morning, we're all saints. Now, you may have woke up this morning and didn't feel like a saint. And I guarantee you, bless God, when you looked in the mirror, you didn't look like a saint, but you're a saint. Matter of fact, good old J. Vernon McGee made it real simple. He said, let me describe the world in two words. You a saint or you ain't. That's it. You make a choice. I thank God for the saints that are here on earth, the church of the living Christ. Those that can walk with and glorify Jesus. What else we have? Salvation, Scripture, Spirit, saints. But then I have down here, but most of all, I thank God for my Savior, the Lord Jesus, because it all starts with Him. Think with me this morning. Without Jesus, where would you be? And man, if you're sitting here this morning, you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior, or you've drifted from Jesus as your Savior, on this Sunday morning is a great time to come back and start afresh and be thankful. Be thankful that you were in a church that loves God, loves His Word, loves His Son, loves His children, loves the mission. Because another word that I'm not thankful for, but it's what we all are, were certainly, is sinner. Boy, that offends some people, doesn't it? Sinner. But hey, we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're all sinners. I pray most of us are saved by God's grace. But what are you thankful for this morning? Are you willing to be that one? This Thanksgiving, when you're surrounded by people that maybe you're the only believer in the house. Now, I'm not saying you got to stop and give a sermon. But boy, you can always bow your head, even privately, and just give thanks to God for the meal before you. Thanks to God for the opportunity to be salt and light in a dark world. One time I had somebody complain to me and said, "Man, we bought a new house and I found out I'm the only Christian in my neighborhood. Isn't that terrible?" I said, "No, that's great. That's a good starting point. Somebody, you know, got to let the light shine. Be thankful for that. Take advantage of that opportunity. Be thankful." Okay. Closing time. When we went to, me and Judy, went to Mount Wolf, we left Calvary in August of 2003, and the Lord allowed us to start a church in Mount Wolf Community Church in September of 2003. Well, the building, which was an old movie theater, had been converted into a dinner theater. So the gentleman who bought it and converted it had people come for the meal, and then they would have gospel groups sing. Well, I didn't know anything about gospel groups, Southern gospel and all that. I never got involved in that until then. All of a sudden, I was the MC every show he had because he wanted to promote the church. It was a great way to promote the church. So he would have this meal, and then all these, he had some big name groups coming in. At least they told me they were big name. I got to know some of them. It's really neat to talk to them behind stage, by the way. But we were doing one program, and this young lady came in. It was probably the second or third. He had one or two a week, so I was doing them weekly. They brought her in a wheelchair. And they took her all the way down front. They had a special section there. He had tables where people could eat, and then the platform where the stage where the performers were. And they took her down front. And I said to the owner, I said, "What's her story? She's a young girl. She must only be 20 years old. He said, "She's 22. And she has advanced Lyme disease. They didn't catch it early, and it's advanced, and she's in her last stages, and she's terminal. It's just a matter of time before she dies." And I looked at this young child, beautiful young girl, but her body was all twisted, and she could hardly move. She was in the wheelchair, and he took her down front. And she could use her one hand to eat with, because I was sitting close to her, and I was watching her. And as the group was singing, the different groups that they had come in, she's down there praising the Lord. She was as happy, lifting her hand to God. You could just see her singing the songs. She was just a bundle of gladness and joy and thanksgiving. You could just see it all over her. It was such a joy for me to watch her in her state be that joyful and thankful. So now it's dinner time. And the way it would work is he'd put a buffet out and people would come down, get their plates and go down and get something to eat. Well, one of the items he had featured was all gratin potatoes. I didn't say all rotten. I said all gratin. How many folks know what all gratin potatoes is? Okay, well, he announced that all gratin potatoes, and they're, ooh, all gratin potatoes. Okay, I don't know what they are, but anyway, they were all excited about it. So this lady, it's not the lady in the wheelchair. They had to bring her food. But there was a lady as we're coming down the line, and I was standing there watching this, and they ran out of all gratin potatoes. They ran out. Well, she stopped, and they got a long line behind her, and she yells, "Where's my potatoes?" And the owner says, I'm sorry, ma'am, but we ran out. "I paid for my potatoes, and I want my all gratin potatoes." So they had to take her out of line and keep the line going and explain to this lady that they didn't have any more. They were out. Well, she blew a gasket. I mean, she was going ballistic over the fact that she didn't get her all gratin potatoes. And I'm thinking, this is a Christian dinner theater with Christian groups, and I got this lady blowing up over all gratin potatoes, and I got this dear child of God sitting here, can't even move, praising God and worshiping Him. And I thought about it. I said, you know, you can make a choice. You want to be an all gratin Christian? Or you want to be a praising and thanksgiving Christian? By the way, I know a lot of you have deep water, you or family members are in. But this young girl was dying. But bless God, she was praising. And here this healthy lady's all upset because she's had all gratin potatoes. Don't let that happen to your church. The things of this world are going to drift away. There's nothing permanent in this room except your soul and the Word of God. That's it. That's it. You know, I mean, 100, 200, 300, I don't think the Lord's going to be that long. But everything in this room is going to pass by except your eternal soul and God's eternal Word. Everything else is. So if you're going to get upset over the fact that there's lost people out there that need to hear something about Jesus. Be thankful He saved your ever-living soul the first time you called on Him. And be thankful you can still breathe the breath of life and do something to move the kingdom of God forward. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Those words don't even express it, Lord. We throw, we cast our praise and thanksgiving your way. I thank you for each one that's here this morning, Lord, that can listen to the Word of God. But, oh, Lord, may they now listen to the Spirit of God and Spirit of the living God move upon our hearts this morning. Fill us with your love. Fill us with your thanksgiving that we can be a thankful people. Lord, I don't want to be an all rotten Christian. I want to be a thankful Christian. And if you're here this morning and you've never trusted Jesus, this is your morning. Don't let it pass you by. The Savior is calling you by name. Come to Him and cast your life at His feet and accept Him as your Savior, acknowledging your sin, that He died for your sin, that He was raised from the dead. And you just call upon Him for forgiveness and receive Him as your Savior. And right where you're seated, you can be born from above. Maybe the Lord had you come in this morning and you're just here this morning and you said, Bill, I'm really going through some bad times. I can't be thankful. Yes, you can. You just need to recommit your life to Christ. Maybe somebody here just needs a fresh start. We'll have a moment of solemn prayer. You can trust the Lord, walk with the Lord, recommit your life to the Lord, whatever the case may be. That's you and Jesus publicly, privately. But then I would ask you to make it public at the end of the service, if you would, and come forward and demonstrate your faith this morning. Just as that one did, he had to come back and thank Jesus. Why don't you do that this morning? Let's have a moment of solemn prayer, no one looking around.